Well, another thing, when we got here in 1917, we rented a house from Charlie Avery. It is the house that Marie Russo now lives in. Where is she?
Right here.
Oh, there she is. And she lives in that house now, but that was the first house that we ever lived in. And it was right next to Perry's. And it would have been Perry's, this Perry's, great-grandfather and mother, who were already running, that we didn't call it by such a name in those days, but they were taking care of the boats and so on in there. And that was in 1917, and I know they were there then, and when they were there at other times. Okay, would somebody tell us how you came? Do you think it's interesting? Maybe I'm the only one who's another on that. That's what I am.
Here's a picture of that house, if anybody wants to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the picture of the house as was when we lived in it. And the Russos, of course, have done a lot to it. That's a nice picture. A picture of it. Well, all right, then you're not going to tell me things that I want people to tell me from the early days. The boats on the lake. Who remembers Jack Donahue and his boats on the lake? Go ahead, Clem.
Well, first I remember a boat called The Lady of the Lake. I don't know if there anybody else in London.
Yes, I know that.
But that was probably the first boat, right? First motor launch. And it was owned by Perry.
That was Perry's boat.
That was Perry's boat. Yes. And then the next ones I remember, of course, were, I think the Seedmans had a one runner, has a motorboat with one cylinder, and that was a long time ago, too. But then Jack Donahoe started the motor launch, and he used to convey people from Avely Park and from what is now Noswell Park up to the North End, because there were no roads up in that area at that time. And
he made a complete circle for
four. Oh yes, he made he'd take the whole circle to Lake for 25 cents, which was a lot of money in those days.
And
then he branched out, and he had, I guess, about three launches after a while. And he had the Thompson boys took it over later, but they used to work for Jack Hammond first. But Jack, I guess, and his sister probably paid their way through school by running the launch in the summertime. But I just want to mention that I first came here about 1915, and the first trip from Peekskill Station was in the Surrey with a fringe around the top. And that was, yeah, it was 1915.
Who drove?
I don't know who it was that drove, but it was probably, before the Travises.
Sherwood.
May have been Sherwood, yeah, probably Sherwood. And that was, I guess, I don't think the trolley car was running, even at that point.
No.
But the station, and they had apartments upstairs. I think a store downstairs, didn't they put? On the first floor of the trolley station.
Store
and we store there.
Yeah. I don't know how to do this.
And then later on, Jess Barker, he had a Model T Ford, and he used to transport people from the station up to White House Woman. And later, Ed Travis and Charlie Travis, and then, of course, Stanley and Shirley took over later on. Yeah. They charged $1, which was a lot of money.
Unless you were walking.
Yeah.
I always stopped walking.
But in those days, in the early days, there was an American YMCA on the east shore of the lake, about the midway there, right near Dunderberg Island, or Weed Island, as we call it then. And they were canvas tents, and that was probably run for 15 or 20 years as an American YMCA, and then the French Y took it over. And
Only grown-ups.
That's right. Yes. And the French YMCA took it over. Which was probably around the 20s.
No.
Before that.
1917.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember.
I was 6 years old when I first came out here. And
that's before my time. I came up in 1950. But my family, my uncle and my father purchased the what was called then the Dunderberg Club. It was a club of Peekskill people, professional people and business people from Peekskill. Had a club there with 10 bedrooms. And my father and uncle converted it into a small country hotel. And then they kept adding on to it. And they ended up with about 40 rooms on the thing. But they were in the days before they had indoor bathrooms, you know. And finally they ended up with a few bathrooms inside. Okay. And pick up all of mine.
Now, on the Dunderberg, and if we're going next to the camp, then we should ask Jean about the years. Jean came up with the French camp. We can do like Bob did with his pictures going around the lake. And Jean says, he told us about
of the of the French camp.
They're pretty old, but they're all very nice pictures.
All I know about French camp is that Jean Schmidt must have had a good time. She was the only girl there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if any of you know where Dr. Rakow's home is now. Well, this rock with the YMCA on it is right behind his house. It's still there. Here, Kathleen. Hold that book.
This is still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
The rock
is still there. Yeah.
Okay. Look at the tents.
Mm-hmm. Just put the book down and I'll turn the pages. And then this was the director of the camp, Pop Medberger, he was called. And he was the first director of the French camp.
What was his name?
Medbergen. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it a Mr. French or was it a French?
French YMCA.
French. They talked French.
They talked French. Yeah. They did. It was actually a French YMCA camp. All the boys spoke French. And then this is going to Lane's Island.
And I think
now here's a picture of the lake.
You better look at these
pictures
later.
Really,
this is a beauty.
Oh, is that from the Y?
Taken from the Y, yes.
And Jean will leave these here for the rest of the afternoon.
No, I have to take them back with me.
Yeah, but you don't have to go till the end of the afternoon.
Oh, no. This is the point,
yeah.
You know. This is where, Bennett and Erfurt are now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
And the boys in swimming. And then, of course, this is a view of the lake. There's nothing there. You know,
nothing.
No houses. That's the West Shore, believe it or not.
And one thing I can add about the French camp is we had the ruddies. Right. The ruddies were Olympic stars, you know.
See? You can come and see it later, you know.
The ruddies had all sorts of medals from the Olympics.
Yes.
And they had a camp at the north end of the lake. And once a year we had contests.
Yes.
Between the ruddies and the French camp. And the French camp medal lost the race. That's true.
Very true.
Ruddies, the and the French.
I want to show you a picture of the regatta that they had. We used to have. You'll be able to see these pictures later, but this is the tower, the swimming tower. You should remember that, Clem.
Yes, I do.
This is
And this was how many years ago?
This is 1926, I think. There's a picture of all the boys. My brother.
Yeah, Curly.
Curly.
Well,
did you know any of the other boys?
Oh, sure.
Who'd you know? There's John Peterson.
Wait a minute, the fat. I'll think of it in the rest of the afternoon. But in between Curly and that first director, I don't remember.
Susie, you remember. Yeah.
And he used to say, better my boy, you should pack up and go home. About 10 times a day, he said.
And he was a Portuguese, believe it or not. What they're doing there.
They did a lot of gymnastics.
Well, it was a... Now, this is what I meant to show you. You know, with all the canoes on the lake.
You'll have to
really see this close. What?
Around Labor Day.
Yes, they had, you know, like a regatta.
The camp.
They go around the lake.
Because Ailey's ran those races that we used to go in.
There's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Picture of that. And the boys with all their flags. This is in the mess hall.
Tell us how long the camp lasted.
Well, I think it was 1926, if I'm not mistaken.
Then what happened?
Well, then they had a lease for so many years, and then Lawson owned the property, and then they lost the lease, and then Lawson took it over. It may have been after that too. I'm not quite sure.
No, Jane. I believe that was owned by the Wines there.
Yeah, but
and the Lawson bought that at an auction later on.
But why did everybody lost it? Maybe that's
right.
You know, maybe that's a story either.
It may have been owned by the American YMCA, and. But it was sold by either the French or the YMCA, or the American YMCA.
I thought they lost their lease. I'm not sure.
Well, that's possible.
You know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought Lawson
bought it at auction later on.
In 1945.
But it was empty for a long time.
Yeah.
We shouldn't get released because I'm having a good time.
No, you know more than I do. That's why I come here to learn.
Perry's great mother, great grandmother.
Was that Perry?
No,
Marvin.
No, Marv.
Huh?
Marvin.
Marvin.
Oh, Marvin, Perry. Oh, sure.
Marvin and Helen. And it was Marvin who built the cottages around that corner.
Yeah.
But the great-grandmother and great-grandfather, aside from doing boats, had a little store right down there where you have your boats now. A little store. Gerald Spock was there at the time, so there must have been two stores in that corner. There were two families. It would be all there was there. Okay, come on up the lake a bit.
The vegetable park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there was a ballpark.
I have a nice picture of the ballpark.
Right,
yeah, I have.
Well, the pictures we can look out later because we look at them. Everybody can. Yeah. But those of you who remember the ballpark, we had an Oskawana Lake team formed by the men who came and played every Sunday. The park was the ball field was opposite our house,
right,
where Marie Russo now lives, and they played baseball. And teams came from other places, including West Point. And you'll think I'm a bragger, of course, because the French camp never lost the war. Our team never lost on the ball field. Mm-hmm. Not even to West Point. And you could go across there and across the water to Charlie Avery's, the pavilion king. There's one good picture of the pavilion there. It's hard to get a good picture of the pavilion the way it was. But we had a dog called Teddy Devlin, who was a chow. You know what they And Charles Avery had Russian a Russian wolfhound, tall in baseball, and this Russian wolfhound and chunky Teddy Devlin used to go back and forth across the water to see each other. And when they were bosom pals, they swam. We walked around, but this pair swam, and they were a funny pair together. They looked so funny.
Babe Ruth also played in that
ballpark. No, Babe Ruth, and quite a few of the Yankee ball players used to come up.
Babe Ruth, there's an article right there that says once Babe Ruth came to Lake Oskaloosa. I think that's what it says. I was horrified when I read it, because Christy Walsh had a house right next to Walter Couch's on the East Shore, directly opposite our present house. And we were living at Marie Russo's house then. And Daryl Spock had the store. There was a phone outside, so anybody who was going by answered the phone. I know at least once I answered the phone, and it was the babe said, please get word to Christy Walsh that he was coming. He would be on such and such a train from Peekskill, and he needed a ride up the lake if they had to go from Perry's on up to the lake. There was no road up to those houses. So I said yes, and then before I hung up, he said, wait a minute. And I said, yes. And he said, don't tell anybody I'm coming. And I said, okay. And I ran around the neighborhood so pissed. So all the kids, the babe will be here, so that they all brought their balls. And he signed everybody's ball. And he also let them pitch to him. Every little kid. We held him up an hour every time he came.
Well, Christy Walsh was a writer for a New York paper, I don't know whether it's the World Telegram or which paper, but he was a scorch miner. And Babe Ruth had trouble managing his money. He used to spend every penny he got until Christy Walsh took him over, and he became his personal manager. Or that's when he used to come up to the...
He came all the time.
Yeah.
It says that off. He was there.
Many times.
Okay, come on, we're skipping to Ireland. And
Walter, we had other champions up there, too. We had other champions who were Olympic stars, like
Walter
Spence, the swimmer, the breaststroke swimmer. He was an Olympic star. And
George Kojak came up there, too.
He
was up at the NYAC.
He was up at Ruddy's camp.
Camp Ruddy.
Yeah.
That was the NYAC camp.
And one of the Ruddy boys, too, was a breaststroke.
And one of the girls.
One
of the Ruddy girls.
Yeah.
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 Oh, my goodness. That's the only good thing.
When you left Daryl Spock's store, didn't you?
And what about Avery?
Yeah.
It was a very dangerous place. Well, I know, but we were starting there to go around the lake. We had to go
But Daryl Spock was a handyman for Mrs. Thompson, who ran the Rocky Rest. There used to be a little hotel in there. And he became very friendly with this woman, and when she died, she left it to Daryl Spock, and he ran a store there. He's a very peculiar man, and he used to have a bear there as an attraction.
Yeah, but that bear came later, don't you remember when Bonnie came?
Yeah, no, but this is going back many years, though.
Bonnie came as a cousin. Somebody gave Daryl a bear. That was exactly a good present. But he kept them, and Bonnie grew up. Go ahead with Bonnie's story.
Mark, is that the name of the bear?
Bonnie.
Oh, Steve. Mark. Yeah, well, I guess later he had to get rid of the bear because it became...
Just one person, see, he finally kept him in the cage. And Bonnie was a nice bear, like a nice dog. But then visitors, weekend visitors, and people who just were going through would always pester him in his cage. And he did finally grab somebody.
Yeah.
So they gave him to Bear Mountain. Mm-hmm. He went over to Bear Mountain. We used to go over to Sam after he was in on this thing. And Daryl Spock Clem said he was a strange person. Well, he was so happy to see people come in the summer because there was no one.
Yeah.
So he saw no one. Or went along from the time we left in October till we got back in June. We used to get such a welcome from Daryl Spock and in June. It was so pleased to see us by the time we left in October. I could have done without you. Okay, come on, move up the lake. Well, I have some things to ask you about. And,
you should have had Walker Couch here.
I tried to get Walter, and I think we will go after Walter Couch.
He's 93, and he'd been coming up here from, I guess, since he was 16 or 17 years old. He was down at the polls on election day. And I guess he talked an hour there, steady. relating his old experiences. It's too bad he couldn't be here today.
Well, while we're still in that section, well, I suppose Harry Gawley's murder. Harry Gawley in the hotel. And what time of year was it that he was murdered in the fall? Late fall, we had all gone home. But by that time, we were living in Ed Perry's boathouse, which was right next to the Thunderbird. And they hadn't caught the person who murdered him when we got back in the spring. Our house would have been a perfect house for a murderer to hide in. You see, so we had a hard time getting back into our house. That time they did catch the fellow finally. Okay, anything else about that section?
When did Rothy take over?
I would have said in the early 30s. And the Travises, Stanley Travis had a team of horses, and I think also Al Barger's father also had a team of horses that he used to cut ice with. They used to mark, first they'd mark it all like a checker square, you know, like a checkerboard square, and then they'd go along with the plow and cut it. And I helped one time during a school vacation around, must have been around Washington's birthday, somewhere in there. But it was interesting. Of course, that was the only refrigeration they had in those days. And everyone had a nice house. Well, how did you do it, Alan and Harry? I mean, you'd have to go out
and put
in
here. Oh, I didn't do it. Is Al here?
Right here.
Why don't you go ahead with some of your other things and we'll bring that all up in one time.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going around the lake and now I'm going to the north end, which I didn't know much about except we used to go to the north end to the
store and the log cabin.
Just a newcomer to ask why, but maybe an uncle of mine developed it, as well as Abley Park. His name was Grundy. Wanna Group Construction, probably not. Changed a lot until just recently, as far as new people. Valley was there with his cows. He worked for George Grundy and built the roads with some horses, mules, whatever would operate that day. And there were also orchards down. Where the corner store was another corner store, one at Christian's Corners, which the young Swanson is converting now. And that was on the main road, but there was one at the lake where the ram and the lady of the lake used to make their trips. And also at that time, George Grundy, I believe, did own the lady of the lake at one time. And they kept both boats in Barney's store, which was just a boathouse with two bays for the boats, and that's right in Abley Park. That's the opposite end from the north end, but it's some information I hadn't heard mentioned. And of course now it's a store, it was a tavern. I think there was something like 18 taverns around the lake in those days, all busy. And
those summer people.
Of course, I don't think there's any left now. I'm going to have to check with the Orlandos to see what the action is now. But it's pretty much the same, actually.
What do you remember about Murray's time?
He was before. Oh, yeah. Well, no, Murray lived across the lake next to Camp Ruddy with his mother and father. And yeah, they had a boat there too, inboard, made a lot of waves. We used to like to go out and swim. We'd hear them getting ready to go out in the boat. We'd all get out there in the canoe or swimming or whatever to ride in the waves. Pretty big size. He owned a tavern at the Abley Park too. Brown Cow, I guess they called it something. Franklin. Murray Franklin. We ran a tavern there for a while. And they sold that place. Franklin's did. Oh, I guess in the late 40s. And it's been two or three owners since then. Ruddy's had a big boat, too. And so did the Weinstein, Harry Weinstein had a boat. That's right next to Camp Ruddy, right on the point.
There
was a grist mill up at the northeast farm, Baxter Farm. And there was, the building was still standing in the barn where the Boy Scout camp built it. It was Dunk Mine Road. There was a barn and the mill. And the millstone was taken out, I guess, around 1938 or 39 by Field Estate. And they brought up the clear pond and put it in the fireplace when they were fixing the house up there. I don't know if it's been saved. I understand the Boy Scouts are going to destroy that structure. I don't know if they've done it yet or not, but that millstone that's there is from the Baxter Corners or whatever they call it that night.
I think they did it
since
Roger Backus was
going to destroy it. Well, the building. I understood they were going to tear the building down. The only thing I know that's left of it.
Camp Idlewild, does this get called, was Ruddy, not Ruddy's or the Walter Couch's place, or Walter Couch's place at one time called Camp Idlewild. Walter Couch gave me some pictures, and he said it was a camp for just women at one time. I have pictures of it. I also have pictures here taken of the lake by Pierce, and I think it was some relation to Harry Pierce. I have photographs here. Some uncle or Olstead Pierce is supposed to be related.
I'm from Peekskill, but we weren't related.
Well, Al Kruger thought it might have been a relative of yours. He thought it was a relative of yours.
No, there was no relationship, but the old albums of Peekskill that my parents and grandparents had. He was a photographer, I guess, for the whole area.
Oh, okay.
But there was no relation.
The name is...
It's a couch's place.
Oh, yeah, that's couch's
place. Yeah, and there's a right hole in the back, mm-hmm. And it was a place for women. That's what the back of the pictures also can see. There's an island in the middle of Lake Oskarana that has a house on it, and there's another small island next to it. And that's called Blueberry Island.
Yes.
And
they used to roll around.
Now, Walter Couch couldn't tell me how. Yeah, that's his house. And he said he couldn't tell me how long ago that was.
Before my time.
Okay, well, came out a while.
Sure. Kathleen, you've got some memories here, I think.
We get up here where people can.
Yeah.
When I was first asked to talk here on Lake Oskawana, I was a little reluctant to do it because this is going back 50, 60 years ago, my period of time that I remember. And the first I remember of Lake Oskawana was in 1915. My father and mother and four of us children walked all the way from about a quarter of a mile this side of Peekskill city limits, walked out to my aunt and uncle's place at Lake Oskawana for Thanksgiving dinner. And we had much more and got the dinner over with and started to snow. My father said we guess we better head on back. Well, before we got back, we had about 2 inches of snow. So,
what's your name, sir?
Walter Perry. Walter Perry. Now, I wanted to get into something else, and maybe possibly somebody here could help me out onto something. And first, after I said that I would talk onto this, I decided, well, I got to dig in here and get something together. So, because I didn't want to have to stand in the corner. So, anyhow, I got a few deeds here. And the first place I wanted to ask about, or somebody knew much about, and that's right at the, Jack Tavey store. Jack Tavey was the one that built it. I don't know whether people remember that. Anyhow, it was Townes' store later. Now it's George's, I believe. And this house is right across the way, just a little down, a little bit from it.
Down?
Kitty, where Kitty Smith had a real estate agency.
And before that, it was a camp.
Fresh air camp.
Fresh air, or was it a church-run thing?
Well, I don't know. I know they call it the
fresh air camp. Kids came from the city and spent 2 weeks there.
Well, that place there, I'm talking on it, but I know very little about it, but that was my grandfather and grandmother's place.
Was it?
Charles and Mary Perry. My father was born there and brought up there. And he went to the school up on top of Spruce Hill. That's where he attended school. And I know very little about it because my grandfather died in 1905 before I was born. And then my father and his mother moved into Peekskill because he was a machinist and it was a lot handier for him to go to work. He was working standard textile at the time then, and so they sold that place. Now I don't know how many acres there is even to it, whether there's anybody know, got any idea how much property was to it. I don't think it was a very large farm because my grandfather was a carpenter, and I don't think he did any farming there. But it's funny, we went by there many times with my father and whatnot, never asked him any questions about it. My father, he died in 31 and never did get around to asking a lot of the questions that I'd love to know today. But anyhow, they sold that place and moved down to there. Now, the next place I would...
Pardon me, was your grandfather the original builder of that house?
No. That house, as I understand, was built by Bijah Lee. It was built for, that's a good point you brought up because that's one of the things I wanted to bring up too. It was built as a rooming house for people coming to Lake Oskawana. And my grandmother, she kept it up until she sold the place. And he was one that built it, and I understand that my grandfather bought it off of him. And I think he moved in, Lee's got over into the southwest corner of the lake. That figures, doesn't it? Because they had the Lee house over into there. Let's see, there's another name.
With the fresh air corners, that's what they call the four corners there, with the fresh air corners.
It was
not the house itself, it was fresh air corners.
Oh, and that's why. Then it could have been a church-related camp, too.
It wasn't a camp.
It was a summer place. They brought kids for 2 weeks at a time.
Well, that's...
You know, because we used to play with them.
Now, the next... place that I wanted to speak.
Well, wait a minute,
yes.
In case I forget.
Yeah.
Any relation between you and either Ed Perry or Marvin Perry?
Or Carlton Perry.
Ed Perry.
Carlton.
All right.
We'll
get into that.
All right. Okay.
Carlton Perry over here is a cousin of mine. My grandfather and his grandfather were brothers.
What about the other half?
All right, now Ed Perry, his father's name was Reuben. That was another brother.
Well, then he's related.
Sure, we're all related.
Of course. Yeah. Ed Perry. Yeah. That's right.
Ed Perry, huh?
And later, Ed Perry was Marvin Perry's uncle.
Then there was another brother, Reed Perry.
A lot of relatives here today.
He's over in Yorktown. Well, the Perrys that link us on, Marv Perry, was a cousin, as I understand. The Perrys?
Yes.
You are young Marv's son?
Grandson.
Grandson?
Yeah.
Boy, I knew your great-grandfather.
not only his great-grandfather, but his great-grandmother was someone else again.
Yeah.
Your great-grandfather was a very peaceful soul.
Getting back to that area there, when we were around, it was around in the 20s, we used to go out in Old Marv was running the boat place there, and we used to pedal out from the Cortonville.
What dates? Can you give me dates on this?
This would be in the middle 20s, I would say. We would get our bikes and put a couple putt tents on it, and fishing poles. There was four of us, the two Croft boys, and my brother and myself, and swimming suit, and we got our beans and stuff up the north end of the lake. After we would go to Mora Perry's and get a boat. And we left our bicycles at my uncle's place, which is a place I'm going to be talking about pretty soon. We left our bicycles there, and we walked over and got a boat off of Old Marv, and then we rode over to the other side of the lake. Now, the other side of the lake, there was practically nothing on to it back at that time. We used to row up and down there to see if we couldn't find a place where we could set a tent. Well, most of that ground lays on quite an angle, and we looked and looked, and finally we found a place, and we set up the tent. Well, we did this several times over there, and we had a great time up there. We had all the other side of the lake there all to ourselves. And then we'd row up the upper end of the lake and get some spaghetti and some beans, and we lived on to that until we went home.
And you know, they rode. They didn't have motors.
Oh, no, they rode then. I remember on Lake Oskawana when the fishermen there all used to row and do their fishing, and then they come out with those heaven roots that you used to wind up from the top. I don't know if the people remember them or not, but that was the early ones. Now, the next place above where my grandfather and my father were born was owned by Leonard Haddon and Laura. Well, she was a Tompkins. She was a Tompkins from Lake Oskawana. They had the next farm above. Now, this place I'm talking about now is Columbus Avenue. You know where Columbus, everybody, yeah, I guess, knows where Columbus Avenue is. Where Columbus Avenue comes out now is right where the house sat. And I don't know what year it was. The house was torn down and Columbus Avenue was straightened out more. Columbus Avenue used to originally... Well, first you had going out to Lake Oskawana, you had a big dirt cellar into there. And then come the house. That's right where Columbus Avenue is now.
And the foundation is still there. The foundation of the house is still there.
Of the house?
Still.
Sure. I thought they moved up. All right, then where the Columbus Avenue is now.
Right to the
end. The grain, that's where the granary was. They had the granary, and underneath the granary was where they kept the carriages. And... But the road originally, when the granary was standing there, that went out around the granary and went around and back up that way. And I don't know what year that was that the house was ripped down and that was straightened out, but I know they was after that property. That was before my father died, to straighten it, cut that off. And in other words, if the house and the... Well, the dirt cellar there, I know today, if it was still there, if they opened the door onto it, a car would take it right off the hinges because it was close to the road then. And of course, the house was quite close to the building. And then right across the way from that was where the barn is. There's a house built on just about on the same foundation today. And
that's what Whitaker's house.
That's right where the barn is at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the barn, the last the barn was used, we used the barn, I think it was during the winter of 31 and 32. We were getting wood off of the hill. We were selling cordwood. And we cut cordwood up on the mountain. And, speaking of that, there's an odd thing. To get up onto that mountain, we have to go down through the Barger property. That's what they did years ago. The Barger property, that is William M. Barger, Louise and Susie Barger was the last two that was there.
The Barger girls.
Yeah, the Barger girls, that's right. And we'd ask them for permission to use that road to go up on. And that's what they did years ago on their farms.
There was a right-of-way there. There was a right-of-way there.
There was a wood road that went down and across the bridge.
You didn't really have to ask permission to go because originally there was a right-of-way there and it's still there to this day.
Oh, is it?
That was a right-of-way? Well, it was right through the Barger property there.
There was a laneway.
Just north?
Yeah, just beyond where the line is between the Haddon property and William M. Barger's property. I'd say about 100 feet. It went down in there and across the bridge and then you curved and went up onto the mountain. And they all used that together and maintained it. Everybody helped out to keep the bridge up there. I imagine the bridge is down now. But
yeah.
Anyhow, we hauled off of the mountain down over that bridge and up through there, and then we used the barn for sawing up our wood and stored the wood in the barn there, and from there we sold it. We had our saw rig right into the barn and cut the wood right there. It was very handy because rainy days we could saw wood. Well, anyhow, we'll get into this. I got a deed here of that property. It goes back to, this deed was recorded May the 11th, 1849, this deed is. It's Elijah Mead and Nathaniel Haddon. Now, Nathaniel Haddon was a father to Leonard Haddon. Leonard Haddon was my great uncle, my father's uncle. And this Nathaniel Haddon, we're talking of a man who goes back to, he was born in 1801, up in the Courtenville Cemetery. His stone is up there. And Nathaniel, another thing is that Nathaniel Haddon, his wife was one of the Hortons. Now, I don't know much about back into the days.
Better known as Aunt Dake.
Now he's getting to it. I'm just about. Everybody in that section and all around knew them as Uncle Len and Aunt Dake.
That's right.
Laura Haddon. Laura Tompkins, when she married
her,
Len.
Her brother lived with them, too.
No.
Tompkins lived with them.
Her brother lived with him. His name was Columbus Tompkins. He lived with him. And he did quite a bit of the work on Columbus Avenue, putting that over into there when my father opened up that area up over there, which was known as Laurelwood Manor. And Columbus Tompkins doing so much work onto that road there, my father says, we're going to name this Columbus Avenue. So that's how the name Columbus Avenue comes about. But he was always known as Clum Tompkins. Yeah, Clum. Anyhow, there was a thing in here for the people that are a little doubters onto this. Beginning at a white maple tree marked and standing on the south end of Horton Pond in line with the lands of Joseph Strang. I don't know just when they gave up on Horton Pond and started calling it Lake Escuana, but I imagine it's in the late 80s. I thought that was of quite some interest. That really goes back to quite a little way. Now, I got something here. Here's a road warrant.
in the town of Putnam's Valley and dressed in Nathaniel Haddon. That's the same man. This is 1884. This is when to work off your taxes, you worked under the road. Now, Nathaniel Haddon had to work 4.5 days. What's that?
Let's go back to it.
William M. Varger, 3.5 days. Leonard Haddon, well, this is before Leonard Haddon had this. And Nathaniel Haddon had 4.5. Leonard Haddon must have a small place or something. He only had 1 day. Fred C. Barger, 1 day. Lewis L. Barger, 1 day. Joseph Tompkins, 2 days. William J. Tompkins, I imagine that's the road commissioner. It was later on. 1 day. Elijah Tompkins. Elijah Tompkins was across the way from the entrance into Abley's, into that area, into there. And Osborne Tompkins, 2.5 days. D.W. Moore, 1 day. They evidently sent this out so everybody knew what their neighbor had, much time they had to work, but I can imagine when they got a hold of this and say, gee, how's it I have to work 4.5 days and he only has to work 3.5?
It's like taking your grievance at the assessor's office.
And I imagine another thing they looked at when they got this, they said, boy, my taxes went up this year, I got to work another 1/2 day now. But that's quite an interesting thing, too. Now, you spoke on to a lot of, or different ones spoke on to a lot of the things like going in there where Durrell's box is. I was wondering if a lot of would remember that. Gorley, he was the last one that was at the Dunderberg. But, another thing that, I won't take up too much of time here, but the other thing is the place that my father, the school that my father went to up on top of Spruce Hill there. The only thing I can remember about that was a story that my father used to tell about. They had a student into the school there that was very, he was quite smart. And the teacher said to him, you should move on into the next grade. He says, you're doing very good work. And he says, I want you to, when you go home tonight, ask your father or mother if we can't push you ahead another grade. He says, let me know in the morning. So the boy, the next morning, you know, the teacher said, well, what did your mother say about it? Well, he says, Mom didn't know what to say. So the boy hesitated for a while, and he said, well, what did your father say? Well, he says, Pop says, stick where you be.
Where did you live on top of Spruce Hill?
I never lived in Putnam Valley.
I mean, your father didn't went to school up there.
He lived into that first place I was talking here, near the store, near George's store.
And he went to the school on top of Spruce
went
Hill?
Went to the top of the school on top of Spruce Hill, yeah. I think he did later attended down at the other one, down where the police
town hall is.
Yeah, where the town hall is.
Well, he went there close to him, but look where he went to the town.
Well, I tell you what happened into a lot of those schools. I know at the time when I went to the Little Red Schoolhouse there in Portnerville, a lot of times they were switched from one place to the other. If one school was a little bit too busy and the other one didn't have enough, then they would change the line and move them into the other school.
Now,
the school superintendents used to do that. They used to move them around.
They used to move them around.
So I think that's just about all I know about up into there, unless somebody wants to ask some questions or something on it, and maybe that would... I could help now with something else here.
You said Gorley was the last one who owned the Thunderbird. It wasn't Pop Coleman after that.
Coleman after that?
Yeah, Pop Coleman after Gorley's.
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
I didn't
Pop
know
Coleman
about that.
That.
That probably was after I didn't, wasn't in the Lake Oswana.
Right.
I was in Lake Oswana.
1905, when we walked out there to my aunt's for Thanksgiving, to 1905, till, well, when we got the wood off the mountain, that was 32, 33.
Yeah.
And that was, then I was away from Lake Osquana. As a matter of fact, I was married in 34, and I moved into Peekskill, and I didn't get out of that area at all.
Because I know after that, Common Board, and then it was called Common's Landing.
I recognize the name, now that you speak of it, I recognize the name. Any other questions?
Well, I have a question about the Haddons, now I'm very stupid, but it wasn't the one branch of the Haddon family at the top of Spruce Hill, where Argyles are now.
There's a,
where who is?
Argyles.
The Haddon Cemetery is up there. Christian Corner.
But I always called that the Haddon House, too. Was it?
Yes, it was Livingston Haddon.
All right, okay, thank you.
Livingston Haddon.
I've heard that name,
too. Sure.
But I don't think they were anyway.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Haddon lived on farther over on Osquana Heights. I don't think they were any relation.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Carl.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Now, where are we on the lake? Well, one thing we have on the lake coming from the north end down, nobody told us about the Goose Rocks and the echoes. From the Goose Rocks. Yes, and now, too, I would guarantee now, except that I wouldn't go up there when there are so many boats around, but you can count 7 echoes. And I have counted 7 when the lake was quiet. And someone once told me that Osquana meant the Lake of 7 Echoes, but the Indian woman from the White Deer, Princess Wari, told me no, it didn't, so whether it was her trade or not, I don't know. She kind of shattered my dream when she said that.
Well, Shumatov told us that Oske meant green, and I don't remember
green,
what the wana meant.
Green.
Green something. That's the algae.
Wana could be water. We can make
water. Kathleen, before you leave the north end, up on Sunshine Road, I don't know anything about it, but I think Al Bob does, was Mount Chapel up on Sunshine Road. I have a picture of it. I know the foundation is still there because my son went up to the property last year, and the foundation of the chapel is still there. But I know it's on town-owned property, no, on the state property now. You know?
So okay, there was also a school
stand
there.
Up. Al, stand up and face.
So I know Al probably knows.
No, come on down around the left. Oh, this?
Yeah.
This is a picture of the mountain chapel.
Yeah.
It's not mine.
But I don't know anything about it.
Can you all see it?
Yeah.
But would you rather have anything?